Now it is with great pleasure that I would like to ask to come to the microphone, First Dog on the Moon, to get the Walkley Award-winning cartoonist from The Guardian to give us a rousing finale address.
Hello, thank you so much for having me here today. I am First Dog on the Moon. I'm The Guardian Australia's editorial cartoonist. I do a few other things, public speaking, like this, a bit of radio, but mostly cartooning. The image on the screen here is, it's entitled Strengthening Disability Advocacy, The First Dog on the Moon Way, with your host, First Dog on the Moon, which is me. And the picture you see before you, or don't, as the case may be, and this is a learning curve for me, so bear with me, is my dog Peanut in a spacesuit. He is a Whippet Jack Russell cross, and it's actually photoshopped. I took a photograph of a NASA astronaut, and I took the head off. Well, I put the dog head on in front, and then I put the whole thing in front of an Australian flag. So I think it's a patriotic and stirring image, and appropriate for what we're doing here today, because it is an honour for me to be here. Clearly, everyone's had a lovely time, and it's great for you to have had the opportunity to get together at the conference. And while I'm not really an advocate, and if I do have a disability, as they say, it is undisclosed, yet I still feel that we share in common, that we're united in the one thing, which is that I'm also someone who attends conferences, and I'm also someone who eats all the little mints. Now, I have an extensive research team back at the First Dog on the Moon Institute, but they didn't tell me it was jelly beans. So on the screen at the moment is a cartoon that took a couple of hours to put together. It is a picture of stupid little mints. There are four of them. They have googly eyes and they're standing there, but clearly the joke is wasted because everybody's eating jelly beans. However, still, I remain still united with you all in our cause together, because I attend conferences and I get annoyed, like you do no doubt today, because the only two sessions I really want to see are scheduled at the same time. This afternoon at 1:30, both sessions, Change Everything, Not Just Your Socks, and Spare Change, No, I Only Have a 20. We're both on at the same time. And on the screen is a picture of me, drawn as a dog, looking at the program for the conference. And, for those of you not familiar with my work, one thing you will learn about me today is that I only really draw dogs. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is that dogs are already funny before you've even started. You open up a cartoon, there's a talking dog. Who doesn't like a talking dog? So I'm already ahead there. And secondly, because dogs and animals can get away with saying all sorts of really terrible things that people can't. So if you draw people saying them, it's just not the same. Now, here's an example. On the screen, we have two pictures. One is the worst picture I could find of the Prime Minister. Now, if you were casting someone to be a killer in a movie, it's a very dark picture. He's actually wet. I think he's just come out of the surf. So if that's not creepy, I don't know what is. And he's got sideways eyes. And next to him is a woylie, which I drew myself. It's not a photograph. It's also known as the brush-tailed bettong, and you can see that's adorable. It's an extremely rare, small marsupial. The scientific name is Betongia penicillata, for those interested in such things. And there's a speech balloon above both of them, and they're both saying the same thing, which is, We are committed to providing protection from discrimination for people with a disability and will continue to provide a strong voice for the disability community, which is why we sacked the Disability Commissioner. Now, for me, when I look at the Prime Minister saying that, even though it's a stupid cartoon, it makes me cross. But when I look at the Woylie saying it, it becomes ridiculous and surreal. And I don't know why that works, but I make a living out of it, so there you go. Now, there's no particular meaning to be attributed to someone being drawn as a dog or a chicken or a piece of cheese. I mean, sometimes there is. It's sort of complicated. I draw Barnaby Joyce as a pumpkin scone, for instance, but that's kind of self-explanatory. In this image, there's just some examples. There's a dog on the left as I draw them. They're brown with googly eyes. There is a chicken. It's sort of chicken colour. There's a piece of cheese standing there with little legs and googly eyes. It's kind of cute. And next to that is a pineapple, which is also looking out at everybody and standing there on not very well drawn legs. I did a cartoon about Gaza recently, which is it's a conversation for another time, but it's a complicated process because you can't just go around drawing people of the Muslim faith as dogs, because they might find it offensive. And I'll talk a bit more about political correctness later on. I'm a big fan of it, if you're wondering. As I was preparing for this, and I did it before, and I wanted to mention it again, what you will see here, and I was like at home going, well, what am I talking about? Because, look, I'm not sure that they've gotten the right person to do this today. I'm very nice, but I know less about disability advocacy than everyone else in the room, probably even than the furniture, because it's at least been here for the last 2 days. But I have still learnt a great deal preparing for today, which is great for me. I might not be the right guy, but it's really too late now. So why are we here today? All right, so you may have reasonably assumed, and that's the heading on this particular slide here, you may have reasonably assumed that my job today is to stand up here and talk about myself. So I've been pretty good at that. It's a nice way to make a living, which isn't just it, but it's also for me to take the last 2 days and wrap it all up in a neat little summarised bow, tell a few jokes about how Dennis and Tony are trashing the NDIS, and to make everyone feel like they've achieved something more than just sitting around and complaining about funding and public transport and eating the muffins, all right? For example, the things that I understand are key issues. The NDIS is being implemented and everyone's a bit freaked out. Very important reform. There's uncertainty. In this image, there's a dog holding its little arms in the air, and it looks really uncertain. So I think I've captured the mood there. The Victorian State Disability Plan is a year old, so it's having a birthday. And there's a chicken with a party hat and a piece of cake. And we could sing Happy Birthday, but we won't. We've got the Tony government, which has been in office for almost a year, and its first budget is, I think interesting is a good word. There's a piece of cheese also waving its arms in the air, and it's saying in this image that we're all going to die, which is possibly an overreaction. But, well, cheese is like that, isn't it? And finally, a pineapple. There is a state election coming in November. The pineapple's holding up a little sign that says, "Vote One Fruit." And I think there's something in that for all of us. Clearly, it is a really important, busy time. For people working in disability advocacy, it's a challenging time. For people living with disability, it's a challenging time. For people working as cartoonists, it's an amazing time. No, we are really having a lot of fun. There's so much material. I get up every day and I just, you know, I don't know what to draw because anyway. So I want to start talking about a cartoon that I did last year, which I think is kind of the reason why I'm here today. I met Stella Young, who you may know, one day at the ABC. We were both being interviewed for something, and we got to chatting, and I marvelled at her electric wheelchair because it was totally retro. It was really cool, like something out of a 1950s Russian submarine, and I didn't realise at the time that actually wasn't a good thing. And she said, no, this is a pretty ancient chair. I can't afford a new one, and getting the government to help pay for something like a new chair is very hard to do. $22,000 was the sum, and I was like, really? Well, $22,000 is a lot of money, but, you know, what else are they going to spend it on? Like, the Attorney General's bookcases or... Well, anyway, so this was the cartoon, and I'm going to go through it because that's kind of it's what I do, really. It's a 12-frame cartoon, so it's pretty long, so bear with me. It's 12 frames with a big header, and the top frame, well, there's two top frames. There's the one I can see here, which is tiny, and then there's the one I can see here, which is enormous, but it's over there. So I can't actually read either of them. And I'm going to have to think about this for a minute, because if I go over there, I won't be on the microphone, and I'll have to yell and also be facing away from the stage. But, sorry? You could give me a roving mic? Or yes, that would be exciting. I love everyone here. This is fantastic. All right, let's try this. So, oh, it's like a cabaret. Hey. All right, so. So there are four images at the top of this particular cartoon. One of them is a dog, a brown dog. There's an angry fish thing. There's what appears to be a piece of cheese and a marsupial of some sort. I think it's a bandicoot. Each one of them has a speech balloon above it. Like I said, my cartoons are long, so bear with me. The dog is saying, how is the nation going to fund the National Disability Insurance Scheme thingy? And the angry fish is saying, Jelaya. I always called her Jelaya because that was funny. Is going to make us pay more taxes to pay for this, more taxes, that is how. And the cheese says, I didn't vote for any of those people to be disabled, quote marks, so why should my taxes have to pay for it? And finally, the marsupial is saying, $22,000 for a wheelchair, my car costs that much and I don't drive around complaining about how I can't walk, so why do these people get to? Champagne satire, people. All right, and then under that it says, what are some of the alternative ways to raise $12 billion so we don't have to slug Australia's greedy whingers and listen to them whinging greedily? Oh, that sort of worked. Oh, we did that. And we did this. All right, we're having a brief technical hitch. We see the cheese again. That was funny. And the pineapple, there's the cartoon, and now we're going to push this button. So now we're going to go through the 12 ways that... sorry, everyone. We're going to go through the 12 ways that the country could raise $12 billion for the NDIS. And the first way is to put a tax on greedy whinging. Now, I think that would work pretty well. There's two dogs in that frame. One's from the Australian Tax Office in New Tel, because he's got a little briefcase that says ATO on it, and he's also wearing a suit. There's an angry dog who says $12 billion for the NDIS, and the tax dog says, well, that'll be $5, thanks. The second way is to nationalise Myer, and if you remember at the time, Bernie Brooks, who was the CEO of Myer, was complaining about how, well, if you make people pay $300 Medicare levy, they won't be able to come into Myer and they won't be able to buy our overpriced crap. In the next frame, there are two dogs looking at a computer. The suggestion is that we stop the boats, then sell the boats on eBay. Another Indonesian fishing boat, says the first dog, but it was so cheap, says the second dog. And the fourth way is for Australia to be sponsored by gleaming idiot Tom Waterhouse. And I don't draw Tom, I just Photoshop him with googly eyes because I think that's meaner. And he's saying it's for the kids. The fifth way, federal cabinet could go on Celebrity Splash. And there's the Prime Minister looking into the pool. I draw her as a fox. And she's saying, shouldn't the pool have water in it? And I know that's, most people don't think that's the funniest joke in that cartoon, but I reckon that's hilarious. The sixth reason is, the sixth idea is a stupid internet comments levy. Only 5 cents each time, and we've raised $30 billion in 12 seconds, says the dog from the Treasury. The other idea is to send the Treasury down to cash converters and see what we can get for Tasmania. And the guy at cash converters... And the guy at cash converters says $150, and it's funny because it's true. Right. Well, would you give me $150 for Tasmania? The other suggestion is to nationalise the mines and then tax the tears of the billionaires. And there are three billionaires there. One is a frog, and so that's actually Clive Palmer. Next is to sell to the NBC, the television people in the United States, the rights to Survivor Manus Island. Wouldn't we all love to watch that? There are two dogs in this frame. One is probably an asylum seeker and the other one is probably in charge because he's wearing a security guard hat and some sunglasses. And the asylum seeker is saying, but I want to be voted off. You see, Survivor Manus Island? Yeah? Okay. All right. The next one, you probably don't remember, but there was an editorial in The Age where no doubt an older, whiter gentleman was complaining about pert-breasted television journalists, female, blonde, always on his telly, always doing news, and he was irritated by this. And so I did a joke about a pert-breasted journalist bikini car wash. Look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because it was probably funny then. It's less funny now. But there is a dog in a car wash making a joke about a Walkley. I did win a Walkley, if anybody is interested in that sort of thing. The next one is to get the refugees to mine Bitcoin. And we're in a sort of a call centre situation. There are asylum seekers all in front of computers and the dog in charge, you know the dog is in charge because it has a shirt and a tie, is saying, OK, all of you, just keep hitting refresh. And if you know what Bitcoin is, that's hilarious. And if you don't, we don't have time for me to explain it because I have to explain this last one and this will take a while. It says, do a poly pedal. Oh, wait. Okay, so what do we see here? We see, what we have here, well, to put it bluntly, that's the Prime Minister's penis riding a bicycle. Okay? I'm sorry, but it is. If you remember when Tony Abbott first became opposition leader, he was always out in his budgie smugglers. So clearly what his marketing people wanted to do was to think about his penis, all right, because it was always on telly. So instead of drawing him, I used to draw it. Now you can't, it's not all there, there's just a little bit peeking out the top. Sorry, but I have to go through this. And I put googly eyes on it, so, you know, it's funny. And it's wrapped in an Australian flag and it's riding a bicycle. So that's already funny and terrible at the same time. But the idea of doing a polypedal, oh wait, is that when Mr. Abbott was doing his polypedals to raise money for charity, he would go out, and after he did them, he would then come back and be reimbursed for all his expenses and all his staffers' expenses by the Australian taxpayer. So he, in fact, earned more money back than he raised for charity. So, once again, searing satire. And I'm now going to make my way back up here. Thanks for your support while I was down here. I thought that went pretty well. So after I did this cartoon, it was discussed on social media, and it was pointed out to me that the little JPEG titly things don't work with my cartoons because they're far too long. What are they called? The little, when the reader goes over them and the Yeah, those. You know, so that people who are vision impaired get their computer to read the JPEG title for them. Tags. That's as good an answer as any. Anyway, don't work on this, obviously. So it was suggested, probably by Stella, that a spoken version of the cartoon, like I just did, with less cabaret, might be good, and I could upload that to the internet. And I was like, well, how hard is that to do? So I recorded it, took 5-10 minutes, uploaded it to the internet, and just, you know, we bunged it on the website. And this image here is the image that I used on the website. Spoken cartoons written at the top, and then there's an on-air logo like in on-air light like in a radio station. And there's me in a tuxedo looking very, well, I'm a dog, reading a script with a dog on it, and there's an old-timey microphone, and it says, First Radio, First Dog. I did it for about 6 months. I didn't get a lot of feedback, so that's you all being ungrateful. And then because the organisation I worked for was under-resourced in that they didn't hire people who knew what they were doing, I couldn't get any stats about whether people were listening to the spoken cartoons. And then the website broke and it was too hard to get someone to fix it, so I stopped because it was all just too hard, all right? It was too hard. And it wasn't until recently that someone sent me an email saying that they'd really enjoyed them and was I going to do them again, that I was like, oh, really? Someone was listening. Well, that's nice. So, you know, it was your fault, but that's okay. I'm told now that people did listen to it, and I am, in fact, in discussions with The Guardian, where I work now, to start doing them again. So that's part of the deal coming here today, is that obviously I couldn't stand up here and say, I'm not going to do them anymore, because I would be a bit crap. However, in all honesty, I was pretty much doing them so I could get an Order of Australia, and we'll need to talk a bit about that today. I'm happy to start doing them again if you all nominate me for an Order of Australia. And on the screen at the moment, there is an enormous Order of Australia to First Dog on the Moon for services to being nice, but perhaps a bit patronising. And there's a picture of me as a dog happily receiving that Order of Australia. And when I receive that Order of Australia, I will humbly dedicate it to all of you. Except if there's any money, I will keep that. So, as the same time the cartoon came out, Stella did a story on the news.com.au website about the fact that every taxpayer would be paying an extra $300 a year for the NDIS, and used the example of the $22,000 wheelchair. And she said in the article, and on the screen at the moment is just a screen grab of the article. There's a picture of Stella and the headline, $100 for Julia Gillard's NDIS scheme. Please, my wheelchair costs $22,000. And she says in the article that the amount and type of funding you receive to have your needs met depends on where and how you acquired your impairment. There is a dark joke among many of us who were born with our impairments, if only my parents could have made it look like a car accident. And I read that and I thought to myself, well, this is going to be a steep learning curve for some people, isn't it? So that's clearly right. Support for living with a disability depends on how you acquired it. And I thought, well, wait till Australia finds out, because this is outrageous. And then, of course, I remembered that Stella had actually said it in an article on news.com.au. So it wasn't going to make a difference. I think that you don't want to have your car accident. Is it in the Northern Territory in Queensland? You want to have it? You need to have it in Victoria. Yeah, okay, all right. Anyway, so I counted the comments. There were about 130, and two-thirds were simply opposed to paying $300 extra a year for the NDIS, and about half of those were directly affronted at paying $22,000 for a wheelchair. And admittedly, a lot of those people were angry at the Gillard government, which suggested they might be more willing to fund disability services if they liked the Prime Minister. So we're not really well served by politics in this country. A few people blamed boat people, of course. And on the screen now is an image I used from a cartoon At the top it says, protecting the nation from unarmed refugees and old wooden fishing boats. We are Border Force in big superhero capital letters, honk. And that is Border Force there. That's four quolls with little guns and ammo belts and stuff, because they're sort of like a crack team of I don't know, refugee stoppers. They used to be Troll Squad. They used to be on the internet stopping cyberbullying. And before that, they were Qual Squad, working in the environment. But anyway, you can get that on a T-shirt if you want. Just go to the website. And I was struck by in all of this by just simply what a mean lot we can be. And yeah, I mean, they're News Corp commentators, but you never get your hopes up on that basis. I wanted to read quickly one example. This is Carlos of Brisbane, and on the screen at the moment is just a simple screen grab from the comments section. And it says, so now we've all forcibly become disability carers. And I'm sorry to bring this into, you may well be familiar with this kind of language. I'm going to read it. We've all forcibly become disability carers then. I chose to lead a life with no kids, but now I still have to pay for someone else's life. If a wheelchair costs so much, maybe it would be better for the government to take a long, hard look at the wheelchair industry. Which might not be such a bad idea. I feel for people with disabilities, but in all honesty, they're just not my concern. I have my own issues to deal with, but the government isn't making my life any easier. All this is going to do is make even more people less tolerant of folks with disabilities. So at least he's honest about his feelings. I don't think he's necessarily right. I think it would be great to have a national conversation about the costs of all these things, and not a news.com.au version of the conversation, but an actual one. I think one of the issues, though, is that it's time for progressive people who don't work in your sector to start taking responsibility for. The spoken cartoons, for me at least, is a good example. It's easy to start doing, but it was also really easy to stop doing, because I have not internalised the need to approach everything I do with the needs of everyone who's in or could be in my audience. So really it starts with me. What do I think is important? Well, I think endangered animals are important, so I do a lot of cartoons about them. They even have their own commissioner now, unlike people with disabilities. So the heading here is, what is wrong with this picture? And on the left, we have Captain Extincto, current commissioner for endangered fairy animals, and there's a marsupial dressed as a superhero. And on the right, we have Graham Innes, former Disability Discrimination Commissioner. And so what's wrong with this picture essentially is that, why can't we have both? You know, why do we have to choose? And of course, we only have an endangered, current commissioner for endangered fairy animals because Greg Hunt thinks it looks good. Anyway, so this has all given me an insight into how disability, and correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't just mean getting the right packages, if that's the phrase, for the people, for yourself or the people you work with. Not just individual advocacy, but about challenging discrimination at an organisational, legislative, national and global level. So disability advocacy, I realised, is a political activity. And by simply doing your job, you are engaging in a political activity, educating people about the rights of people living with disabilities, which I thought was pretty good. And that it was now everyone else's turn to get involved. And look, I know you probably know that already, or you may disagree, but have no doubt thought about it. But I just thought I'd come in here and say, well, how awesome you all are, really. And that you really have your work cut out for you. But again, that's not going to be news, because discrimination takes so many forms. And I wanted to talk about, I know using the word brave is well trod ground, and it's not something that people necessarily appreciate, but I found this example on The Onion, which is a satirical news website, and it's a news story headed, Loved Ones Recall Local Man's Cowardly Battle with Cancer. And it just goes on to describe how this man wasn't brave, how he in fact he gave in, and it was pretty pathetic. And of course, that's not language you ever hear. So for me, on thinking about this, because I was terrified of coming in here and saying the wrong things, and clearly what I should have done was put up more cartoons because they're funny, and me just talking about what I actually think is a little further down the garden path. But if I call someone living with a disability brave, I don't have to deal with it, because then I've categorised somebody as not needing my help, which you may not anyway, but what I'm saying that in order to make it about me and to fix me up. So as a society, we are atomised right down to placing the needs of the individual, ourselves, above those of everyone else except for corporations. There you go. So it's not a finger-pointing exercise, but I'm blaming capitalism, all right? So there it is. And the other thing about language, which I think is so critical, political correctness, which I want to talk about briefly, has it gone mad? In this cartoon it did, but the whole cartoon uses some swear words, so I can only show you a bit of it. This is... at the hospital, the heading says, political correctness is assessed by the psychiatrist. And on the left side of the screen, there's a large yellow creature. That's political correctness, sitting in a chair. And on the right side is a cat wearing a shirt and a tie. So that's obviously the psychiatrist. And political correctness says, I don't know what's wrong with me. If I'm not weeping uncontrollably, I'm laughing and laughing. And the psychiatrist cat says, well, you appear to be out of control. You may have gone mad. All right. So, like I said, I have a genuine fear today that I've said the wrong thing, that I have a responsibility. Well, if that's the worst I do, I think I do have a swear word in this bit. I have a responsibility to educate myself, but you know, am I brave? I'm feeling a little frightened. But I just want to be respectful. You know, I prefer to call political correctness by its more accurate name, having nice manners, or just not being a dickhead. And I think that calling something political correctness is just another way of saying I don't want to have to consider someone else's feelings. So in conclusion, I would like to say thank you very much indeed for asking me to come here today so I could publicly workshop my thoughts and feelings around the issue of living with disability. The slide at the moment is a dog holding a sign which says, my mind is mostly closed and I am easily offended. But I'm going to change it to this one, which is another dog holding a sign that says, it's nice to be here with everyone on a sunny day. All right. I have had a lovely time. I hope it's been entertaining. Of course, actions speak louder than words, so I will get the spoken cartoons back online if you all nominate me for the Order of Australia. Now, I've also been asked to tell you that you can't hang around chatting after the Shaking the Tree Choir who are next, because you have to hurry back to your offices so that you can put the finishing touches to your submissions to the McClure Review of Australia's Welfare System, which I believe closes on Friday. So if you haven't started them, you better get to it. And don't forget to fill out the feedback sheet by ticking finale down here. All right. So thank you very much for your time.